Psalm 36. An oracle is within my heart concerning the sinfulness of the wicked. There is no fear of God before their eyes, for in his own eyes he flatters himself too much to detect or hate his sin. The words of his mouth are wicked and deceitful. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. Even on his bed he plots evil. He commits himself to a sinful course and does not reject what is wrong. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, your justice like the great deep. O Lord, you preserve both man and beast. How priceless is your unfailing love. Both high and low among men find refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast in the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Continue your love to those who know you, your righteousness to the upright in heart. May the foot of the proud not come against me, nor the hand of the wicked drive me away. See how the evildoers lie fallen, thrown down, not able to rise. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So like some of you, you're going to, maybe some of you are going to new schools, some of you have got a new year, a new teach, whatever. My job is also changing. The army moves around every couple of years. I've been moved around early this time. So I'm going back down south to where I have been with Royal Engineers, training them in basically ethics, laws of armed conflict, so we don't do naughty things like Russian troops do. But I'm moving from there in 2 weeks' time, and I'm going to Worthy Down, training, doing the same thing, training, this time clerks and chefs. So the next time you see me, I might be a little bit fatter, because I've got to spend time with the chefs, eating their food and getting to know them and all that sort of stuff. In between that, and this is just something else for you just to think about if you want to do some sponsoring or not, in between that, the 25th of September, I'm in a team of four, doing, it's called Trail Walker. You can see it online. It's a 100 kilometres race across the South Downs. So I've been training for that, if you look at my Strava account. We're an old guys team. So there's me, I think I'm the oldest actually, the RSM, the Regimental Sergeant Major, the Colonel, and the Adjutant, he's the youngest. We're in a team of four. Some of my other guys have got teams of four. They're aiming for 12 hours, we're aiming for 14 to 18 hours. And if you want to look at online, Trail Walker, it's Oxfam, and the Gurkha Trust, that's part of the thing, raising money for them. So you can think about me. So my last day with my current regiment is doing that, and my first day with my new regiment is hobbling in as a cripple to see the chefs and the clerks. So that's me, and so I'm just like all of you, starting new life in different places again as well. The good thing, by the way, is I won't be going anywhere. Training establishments, the Padres stay, because we don't go anywhere. So that's a good thing for Pavey. I'm in this country. There are times when what we see with our eyes is very different from what we know in our hearts. So we watch the news and we see a world that appears to be in chaos, pandemics, wars, natural disasters, financial disasters, tragic accidents. And then we come to church and we sing songs and pray prayers and read from the Bible about the love and the peace and the kindness and the goodness of God. All around us, we see a world that seems happy to go on as if there is no God. People don't seem to care about him or give him any thought. Courts and politicians and social media and public opinion, they tell us what is acceptable and what isn't. And then we come to church, and the Bible tells us that there is a God in heaven. He is our creator, and one day he will be our judge. And he alone gets to say what is right and what is wrong. During the week, we go to work or school and spend time with friends and watch films. We go shopping, we make plans, and we take holidays. And God doesn't seem to play a part in any of that. And then once a week, for a few hours on a Sunday, we come to church, and we talk about him for a while, and then we go back into a world that denies that he even exists. And so sometimes being a Christian can almost feel schizophrenic, as if we are living two separate lives in two separate worlds. And perhaps if you're a Christian today, then you don't even feel as if you live in two worlds. You feel as if you're living between two worlds. We live in the world around us. We've got jobs and go to school, watch TV, but we're different from it because we also believe in Jesus. How do we bring these two worlds together? How do we make sense of what we see with our eyes, but what we know in our hearts? And that's the question that David is wrestling with in Psalm 36. How do we live our lives between two worlds? And Psalm 36 starts with a revelation, a profound, divinely inspired truth about the sinfulness of the wicked people. There is no fear of God before his eyes. So David looks at the world. All around him he sees the sinfulness of man, verses 1 through to 4. And why is that? What is it that makes men wicked? They don't fear God. So all around him live people who don't care about God, who don't worry about God. As far as they're concerned, they have no need of God. In his own eyes, he flatters himself too much to detect or hate their sin. So they don't care about God. They certainly aren't listening to God, so they decide what is right and wrong, what is good and bad. And by their own standards, they're pretty good, actually. That's why they don't think they don't need God. So by his own standards, President Putin thinks he's doing the right thing. He thinks he's right, that the West is all wrong, and that he can go in and do what he likes with other people's lives. And that's what David finds. Evil people live with no reference to God. So what they say, what they do, is all done according to their own wisdom. I am the master of my fate, says the evil person. I am the captain of my soul. But even the words of his mouth are wicked and deceitful. He's ceased to be wise and to do good. And worse than that, rebelling against God, rejecting God, is not something that only happens occasionally during the worst moments of their lives. No, they consider carefully these things. Even on their bed, they plot evil. He commits himself to a sinful course, and he does not reject what is wrong. And this is the world that David lives in. That is the world that he sees every day with his eyes. Everywhere he looks, he sees sinful people in rebellion against God. And even though David wrote this psalm 3,000 odd years ago, not much has changed. Go anywhere. Live in any country, at any time in history, and this is what you'll see. It may appear different in different contexts, but it's all the same. When we look around the world around us, everywhere we turn, we see the sinfulness of humankind. That is the world we see with our eyes. And yet, that's not the whole story. There is more to this world than just what we see with our eyes. So we'll come on to that bit a bit later, because I've not actually done an all-age or children's talk. It's just an adult talk, cut down using simple words. So we'll come to part two in a little while, because I think we've got a song or something in between, have we? Yep. So verses 1 to 4 paint a pretty bad picture of our world. And yet if you're a Christian, what you know in your heart is the loving kindness of God. So verse 5 suddenly changes. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, your justice like the great deep. The love of God is so vast that it fills the earth. It touches everything, is seen everywhere. The righteousness of God, his rightness, his goodness, is like a mountain. Enormous, unchanging, towering over us. His justice never runs out. And as David grew from being a boy into a man, from a shepherd to a king, he knew, he has experienced in his own life, God's love and his kindness, his care, his generosity, his forgiveness and his mercy. David had done some pretty bad things, and yet God had forgiven him. And so like a man standing at the foot of a mountain, like I'm going to be in a few weeks' time in South Downs, standing at the foot of a mountain whose summit is so high that he cannot even see the top, David stands and considers the loving kindness of God, and he marvels. His mouth falls open. Words cannot describe or express the kind of God that David knows. Every moment of every day that we exist is because God sustains us. Water flows, birds fly, fish swim, rain falls, plant grows, people laugh, the sun rises and the seasons come and go, only because God commands them. So if you love the great outdoors, then every time you step out of the front door, you should praise your Creator. If you love the great indoors, then you should praise the God who made homes and sofas and slippers too. And we sometimes believe that God doesn't care, that he's just too far off, too busy to care about us and our lives and our struggles. But the truth is, if there was even ever a moment where God was not with you, holding your life in his hands, you and I would simply cease to exist. Every day, in 1,000 different ways, God shows that all of us find refuge in the shadow of his wings. They feast on the abundance of his house. He gives them drink from the river of delights, for with him is the fountain of life. In his light, we see light. Consider just one example. Has it ever crossed your mind that God could have made all food taste the same or have no taste at all? He could have made the process of eating entirely practical, just food poured straight down a tube into your tummy. But instead, he gave us ice cream and milk and meat and bread and cheese and wine and beer and bread and butter pudding and apple crumble and curry. Just think of all the things that you love. Sport and books and friends and poetry, dancing, fashion, holidays, everything else you enjoy. God is the source of all life and light, and he gives life and light to all people. All people. Those who love him and those who hate him. He gives light and life to all those who sing his praises, and he gives life and light to those who curse his name, including some of the most evil men on our planet. That is the amazing love of God. Because he gives us all time to get to know him. So God shows his love for us all, whether we worship him or not. In fact, the only reason any of us know what love is, or have any sense of right and wrong, and justice and injustice, is because God exists, and it has put it into our hearts. So do you see, as Christians, we often feel as if we're between two worlds. When we look at the world around us, everywhere we look, we see the sinfulness of man. And the sinfulness of man and the wickedness of the world doesn't prove that God doesn't exist or that he's far off and away. The wickedness of and sinfulness is wrong precisely because God does exist and has told us what is right and what is wrong. Men and women are wicked because they deny God. And it's only when we come to know God that we can make sense of the wickedness of the world around us. And at the same time, when we look at this world and we see its sinfulness, we can see most clearly the lovingness of God. We're the wicked ones, you and I. Every one of us by our nature, and yet God chooses to love us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So do you see the world we see with our eyes, on the news, in our families? The world we read about in the Bible and know to be true in our hearts are not two different worlds. They explain one another, and one gives us hope for the other. And that's the final thing we see in this psalm. Because if, like David, we have come to know God and to love him, then we can live our lives trusting God for today and tomorrow. Continue your love to those who know you, your righteousness to the upright in heart. May the foot of the proud not come against me, nor the hand of the wicked drive me away. Even though the world looks out of control, and all around him, David sees the sinfulness of man, he knows that God is still in control. He is the God of love and justice. And the world may look in chaos. It may seem that sinful man can do whatever they like, whenever they like. But if you are a Christian, then you should know better. Because we know the loving kindness of God. And if we trust and know God's love, we can trust him for today and for tomorrow. See how the evildoers lie fallen, thrown down, not able to rise. When David wrote this psalm, he was still surrounded by wicked men. But he knew that one day, verse 12, would come true. And one day, verse 12 would come true for President Putin and anyone else like him. See how the evildoers lie fallen, thrown down, not able to rise. So you may have watched a film that really draws you in. You find yourself caring about whatever happens. You worry about what will happen. And you wonder whether the bad guys will win and the good dark guys will fail. And for a couple of hours, you are absorbed in what you're seeing. It feels real. It momentarily becomes your world. But then the film ends. And as soon as it does, you remember it's not real. The things that made you anxious, the danger, the bad guy, they seem so real, but now it's over and you're back in reality. And one day, Jesus will return, the God who we know in the Bible and our hearts, if we're Christians. The God who is so full of loving kindness will come into the world that we see with our eyes, and he will make reality, the real reality, true. And I wonder if on that day, the things that made us anxious, the things which keep us up at night, the danger that we feel, the worry that we feel, the pain that we feel, I wonder if on that day we won't wake up and realize there is a far greater reality. When Jesus returns, the world that we see with our eyes will be the world that we now know in our hearts, a world that will be full of loving kindness of God forever. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Father, as we look at the world around us, a world which really does seem out of control at the moment, a world which is perhaps fills us with fear. And I think of some of the young soldiers I spend time with just out of basic training, and they're fearful that they might get sent to Ukraine or wherever. Father, help us to know you and your peace in our hearts for today and to trust you for tomorrow. To know that real reality is what you have in store for us when justice will be done. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.